Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
First of my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 20th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. The steam packet company has responded after facing 14 cancellations and numerous delays in recent weeks. Meanwhile, one stranded passenger has thanked the ferry operator for sending an extra sailing back. And MHK has welcomed progress on a planning application for a new sewage treatment works. And of course, all the latest with road racing across the island. Drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Simon Richardson. Fastamai.
It's hoped to plans to install rapid electric vehicle chargers at the airport will tackle the urgent need for more charging points on the island. Manx Utilities has submitted an application to convert 20 existing spaces at Ronald's Way, used by commercial hire parking, into 6 additional spaces for EVs with charging points and a canopy with solar panels. The Steam Packet's managing director has apologised after 14 sailings were cancelled due to technical faults. Brian Thompson admitted communication with some passengers was not good enough and pledged to improve. He says each compensation case would be reviewed individually but accepted responsibility for the disruption. International news. A man who stabbed a neighbour and attacked a PC with a crossbow after attempting to hunt down police has been jailed for 9 years. An officer later shot Jason King in the stomach after the 54-year-old refused to put down the weapon in High Wycombe last May. Increases in food costs and airfares have pushed up UK inflation again. The Consumer Prices Index measure rose by 3.8% in the year to July. And hours after President Zelensky called on the West to pile pressure on Vladimir Putin, the UK has announced further sanctions on Russia. Moscow has done the same to a number of individuals, including some British journalists. And that's the news. More news at 6.
Revving up for the Manx Grand Prix races. Your local Tesco has barbecue mains, celebration drinks, camping essentials and much more. Tesco. Every little helps.
Right, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Continuing dry this evening with bright or sunny spells, then tonight will be largely clear, minimum temperatures of 11 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow will be then another dry day with sunny intervals, light winds and top temperatures of 19 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Hungry for something better at work? The Quirky Teapot Balasala creates bespoke corporate buffets and delivers straight to you, serving the south of the Isle of Man with flavour and style. Call Abby and the team on 22 42 42 or visit The Quirky Teapot on Facebook.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys, your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes, Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
Direct cremation is just that, an affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past 5 on Manx Radio's Update programme. Welcome to the programme. Since the end of July, there have been 14 cancelled sailings due to technical issues faced by both of the Steam Packet's vessels. That figure is made up of 12 Mananan sailings resulting from 2 separate issues in late July and again in early August, and then 2 Manxman sailings yesterday. But how do those cancellations impact passengers? Catherine Matthews and 6 others were meant to be on the same sailing as Colin Ring, a pensioner who feared he'd be spending upwards of £70 a night in accommodation and food costs. Catherine has told Manx Radio the lack of communication from the Steam Packet has been disappointing.
We've booked our ferry separate to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and they haven't even received a text to say it was cancelled. A bit disappointing, the lack of communication. We've had to cancel because the house that we'd got rented, we were due to take, we'd only got a house rented for a week. We were due back on Tuesday, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were due back on bank holiday Monday. So they would have spent barely 36 hours on the island. It's not worth it. So that's seven people not coming over, spending any money. Although we sort of like rented a house, but we tend to eat out a lot when we like this, when we come out as a group like this. So, and just really disappointed.
Planning it a year in advance, you know, knowing it's yourself, yes, family members, friends. This was something everyone, yeah, and a first visit for your nephew. This was something that
it was a bucket list tick for him. I mean, this would have been our fourth trip. I'm hoping that the insurance will pay out on the house that we've had, that we've rented. I did take an insurance policy out on that. I'm hoping that will pay out. I never expected the ferry to actually cancel because it's a new ferry. You know, it's a new ferry.
If they rescheduled you maybe for like tomorrow or for 2 days from now, would you still have made the trip?
Yes, we would have done, but not Saturday. That's 5 days, literally. And when you've planned a week, that's just not good enough, really.
Tourism for the island is so, so important. I mean,
especially at this point of the year. I mean, that's why we're coming.
Does this discourage you then from any future, possible future visits?
Oh, no, it doesn't discourage us from possible future visits, but perhaps I won't, because I've been the main instigator and organiser of this holiday. Perhaps it'll just be me and my husband next time.
Well, the Steampacker Company has since responded. Yesterday, the operator declined to answer questions from Manx Radio, including concerns raised by those affected passengers. Around lunchtime today, though, we were invited to speak with the managing director, Brian Thompson. I went down and began by asking what had changed in the last 24 hours to allow this interview to take place.
I don't know if we said a comment wouldn't be forthcoming. I think yesterday when we got requests for interview, we were actually in the process of dealing with the customers, dealing with the situation initially, dealing with the customers, which is always our priority, and we just weren't available for interview, whereas today I'm here.
But you don't deal with customers. You have a customer experience manager, you have a customer support team.
Yeah, we do. And as I say, they were dealing with the customers. You know, yesterday in particular, they worked very hard, the whole team, to get people rebooked, to get extra vessels on, to gear those vessels up, to crew them, to store them, fuel them. So there was a lot of hard work going on behind the scenes.
So how do you think communication has been with passengers over the past 24 hours?
Communication with passengers is good. I think there is a glitch in that system where if somebody's booked through a third party, like a travel agent or something, they perhaps don't receive the communications that we send out.
But obviously we've heard from numerous sources, people texting in, people emailing us, calling us, telling us how poor communication with yourselves has actually been. You've just said that if they go through a third party provider, they don't get that communication. That's not good enough, is it?
Absolutely not, and I think that's something we have to work with these third-party companies and make sure that the information is either passed on or we can have direct communication with customers.
Some people have told us that the Steampacker is refusing to cover accommodation costs as a result of these cancellations. Is that true?
I think we will look at every case individually, so I'm not going to sort of give you a blanket answer.
But obviously people are having to fork out potentially hundreds of pounds extra because of the cancellations. Are you saying your company is not responsible for that in all cases?
We won't be responsible for that in all cases, but we need to look at everybody as individuals. And we're more than happy for people to approach us and speak to us directly about that rather than approaching Manx Radio, which I don't think is the appropriate forum.
14 cancellations in 3 weeks, numerous delays, accusations of poor communication. Can you comfortably sit here right now and tell me that you are providing a good enough lifeline service?
No, we absolutely are not providing a good enough lifeline service, and there isn't a member of the team who doesn't know that. So we are endeavouring to get back to providing the service that we want to.
So what contingencies are you going to put in place going forward?
So we have the Ben McCree that's come in to stand in for Manxman, albeit she's delayed today, but she will go. And that is the contingency plan going forward. But unfortunately, when the situation unfolds, there is a certain amount of planning and preparation that has to go in before we know that we can open a sailing.
That's Brian Thompson, the managing director of the Steam Packet Company there, speaking with me earlier today. Well, remember Colin? We have since caught up with him again after he previously expressed frustration at being stranded. He actually thanked the company for putting on an extra sailing to return affected travellers to the island.
We were actually staying in Bakewell in the Peak District, and we got a text in the morning saying the boat was cancelled and to phone up. I did phone up, and initially they told me that they wouldn't be able to get me home until this coming Saturday, and that was on Tuesday morning, that was yesterday morning, and obviously I wasn't very happy with that. And but what we did is we drove down to Heysham, and I went in and I saw the young lad on the desk, and he told me to come back tomorrow, which, what day are we on? Wednesday, isn't it? He told me to come back today at 11 o'clock. And he would try and get us on the boat either this afternoon or this evening, you know, the late night boat. And we went and got a hotel to stay the night. However, at 6 o'clock at night, half past six at night, we got an email saying that we were on the boat at 2:15 last night, or early this morning. So we did get home this morning.
And presumably by that point, you'd already paid for a hotel, you'd been to potentially a restaurant or got some food from somewhere as well. So you'd already paid money at that point.
We had. And we in fact, we had to, obviously, we had to go to the hotel and say, look, we've got to go. We still had to pay for it. And hopefully the steam packets will be assisting with that. I've spoken to the customer service manager this morning, and he was extremely helpful, I have to say. So we're quite pleased, you know. I mean, we've got home. Very tired, but I mean, that's not just me. It's quite a lot of people.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, a warning that this next story may be upsetting for some. A verdict of suicide has been recorded at the inquest of a police sergeant who died in 2024. Stephen Kenneth Hall was found in Balaff on the 13th of November. Lewis Foster has this report.
Over the past 2 days, an inquest has been hearing from Mr. Hall's friends, family, representatives from the Isle of Man Constabulary and medical professionals. The court heard that Mr. Hall had a troubled relationship with alcohol, which was exacerbated, at least in part, after the trauma he experienced responding to a fatal sidecar incident during the 2022 Isle of Man TT. This was known to the constabulary, which put support in place, including a dedicated welfare officer, although it was stated that he would never attend work under the influence. However, the court heard that other additional support, which was previously available to Mr. Hall, ceased following his arrest for allegedly failing to provide a breath sample. The case was not tried in court before his death. The removal of support from colleagues was said to have left Mr. Hall feeling lost, as he was overwhelmed by the ongoing court proceedings. A former police constable and friend of Mr. Hall's submitted written evidence to the inquest, saying he was surprised he's the only police officer to have taken their own lives in recent years, saying that despite Mr. Hall's exceptional service to the public, the police mistreated, neglected, and failed him. He added that he believed the constabulary offered no substantive compassion towards Mr. Hall. Although not critiquing the actions of any particular police officers, the coroner of inquest did confirm today that he will be making a suggestion for improvement to the Isle of Man Constabulary. James Brooks said he will write a report addressed to the Chief Constable, Russ Foster, to highlight potential for improvement in the constabulary's welfare officer scheme to prevent similar deaths in the future. Expressing his condolences to Mr. Hall's family, Mr. Brooks said he was clearly an individual with a sense of humour, but above all else, he was a kind, caring and loving father. The Isle of Man Constabulary has been approached for comment. If you've been impacted by any of the issues in this report, you can find support at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look at the roads to start. Obviously, qualifying for the Classic TT is on this evening. The course is due to be closing at 6 o'clock, reopening no later than 9. Elsewhere in Peel, a short stretch of Glenfaber Road is closed 24 hours a day near the new sewage treatment plant for installation of a new water main. Traffic is being diverted via the Patrick Road, St John's and the main A1 in and out of Peel. Elsewhere, Castletown, temporary lights on Victoria Road near the entrance to the railway station. Near Foxdale, temporary lights on the shoulder road at the South Burrell Plantation. And over in Ramsey, temporary lights on the Andros Road, that's near the Grove Museum, for substation work. We'll take a look at the steam packet. There is a bunch of things there. The Mananan is delayed. The 3 o'clock departure now not due to be leaving until 6. Similarly, if you're on the 7:45 Manxman this evening, then you won't be setting off until around 11:30. I am seeing a lot of red on the website, so if you are intending to be travelling by the steam packet, then I would recommend watching the steam packet website for any changes. We'll take a look at the airport. Everything is looking green there on the arrivals board and also on the departures board. Everything is running to time.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 17 minutes past 5, an MHK for one of the areas that still has raw sewage pumped into the sea has welcomed progress on a planning application for a new regional treatment works. Manx Utilities recently confirmed it submitted proposals for a facility at Garth. It comes 5 years after a previous application was rejected by the planning committee. MHK for Garth, Andrew Smith, hopes this design gets the go-ahead.
Sewage has been on the programme for a long time, as you know. Yeah. I mean, I first started talking about it when I was on the commissioners 30 years ago. No one will argue that we want to stop raw sewage flowing into Laxey Bay. I think there's no one on that side anymore. I think what the issues we've had was there was a scheme, some of the issues we've had, and faults on both sides as to why that scheme kind of went off piste and didn't make the end result. So we've got a new scheme which has now just gone out. It's going through the initial introduction into planning, as yeah. it were, with Manx Utilities. I haven't been involved in such a heavily consultation process as has happened for this latest proposal, with all the landowners and property owners and people on the route, and public meetings within the commissioner's offices, and then out and around the Garth area, and plans and one thing another, and environmental impact assessments and etc etc etc. So I think there has been, I don't think anybody could really complain that they haven't had the opportunity, and there is still the full opportunity, because it'll go through exactly the standard planning procedure. So there's still the opportunity for people to feed in even at this stage, and then if it doesn't quite meet, and we have to go through, hopefully not, but if we have to go through an appeal, the process is there. But hopefully it's the best scheme that we can get now as far as Laxey is concerned, to combine the Garwick, Glengarwick and Baldrine area, as well as the main Laxey village.
Well, that's Andrew Smith, the member for the House of Keys for Garth. Douglas City Council and the Isle of Man Constabulary are urging cyclists to walk with their bikes in pedestrianised shopping areas. The local authority says there's been an increase in complaints about reckless cycling. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more.
The council says members of the public have reported dangerous cases in Strand Street, Castle Street and Duke Street. Under its bylaws, cycling in the main shopping areas is not permitted and carries a fine of up to £2,500. Douglas City Centre manager Oliver Cheshire says the local authority supports cycling and encourages active travel across the capital. He added that the council has to prioritise the safety of the public and those cycling at speed are a risk to that. Mr Cheshire also said the campaign is asking people to be considerate and confirmed the council has installed secure bicycle lockers in Shoresbrough car park. The local authority is working with the police to deal with the issue in the capital. Inspector Michael Taylor said the constabulary has been made aware of incidents of inconsiderate cycling in the main shopping areas. He added that it may cause danger to members of the public in those places, especially to those who are less mobile or visually impaired. Inspector Taylor said people should feel safe when shopping. Douglas Council says there are many alternative routes and cycling paths throughout the capital where cycling is both permitted and encouraged.
That's the local Democracy reporter Emma Draper with that report.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Digital Isle of Man has said businesses having access to Etsy is a huge benefit for the Isle of Man. Back in 2017, the online marketplace changed their payment system, which excluded islanders from using their site. However, after conversations with the platform and help from the UK government, Etsy can now be used for island sellers once more. Digital Infrastructure Minister Andrew Honour has spoken to Darren Timpson.
We live on an island and it's a beautiful place, but in terms of the number of customers that you can attract, Etsy offers up a global storefront. So I think it's really important that, you know, Isle of Man businesses are able to exploit that. Mm. And now they'll be able to do that with this announcement this week. So there's an awful lot of businesses that have been telling us that they would like to use it. So we're really pleased that this has happened. But we've also been assisted through some help from the External Affairs Department in Isle of Man government, linking up with the UK government. And they've introduced us to contacts in the Ministry of Justice, who have sort of responsibility for the Crown dependencies. We've been working with some of the other Crown dependencies because they have similar, if not the same, issues with some of these platforms. And we've had a great deal of help from, as I say, the UK government through Minister of Justice and the Department of Science, Innovation and Technology. They have certain touch points with some of these large platforms. So we've been able to use that as well to try and, you know, raise the awareness of the issues that exist here. And we're continuing to do that.
Do you think this could encourage more people to start businesses on the Isle of Man as well?
I think the Isle of Man is very good at starting up small businesses. I think we've all heard of some of the sort of very popular names that are out there. But certainly it doesn't help anyone if you have these sort of barriers in place. So yes, I think, you know, it is going to sort of, word will get around, I think, and then people will start to exploit it. There is a few little teething problems we've noticed. So if anybody's listening to this and they go through the process to register for Etsy payments, bear with them. I think some of them are being handled manually while they add the Isle of Man to their country list. So I think for the next week or two, it might be a little bit clunky, but the confirmation is there.
Peel will come to alive to the sound of thunder tomorrow. Many of the bikes on display at the Leith Motorcycle Museum will be displayed and turned on, and anyone with their own machine is also invited to take part too. Bob Taylor was behind setting up the collection at the museum and he owns most of the bikes in there. We asked if most of them were in working order.
99% of them are, yes. Within an hour I can get any one of them running. Obviously we get them out, the classic and vintage race bikes, on our Peel day. Get them out outside and have a grid formation and start some of them up, you know, it's really good.
The sound of that must be absolutely incredible.
Well, yeah. This year we usually have it outside the sailing club, but this year we're having it on East Quay, so that'll be right outside the museum. And we've got the vintage club joining us and the classic car club there as well, so there's a bit of everything for everybody, so we should have a really good day.
When is this happening?
Thursday the 21st, practice week, so it's next Thursday.
So that is a must-go-to event for any bike enthusiast.
Yeah, we like to get the bikes there for midday. Hopefully Dave Molyneux's coming with his classic sidecar outfit. Des Connor comes with his MV Augusta, you know, and one or two others. Feraldo will be there with a couple of our bikes. So anybody who's got a classic or vintage or modern race bike, they can come. They can either come and parade it, you know, static parade, or start them up. So the more the merrier.
That's Bob Taylor speaking with Beth Espy there. Right, sport on the way next.
Manx Radio Saturday Sandwich with Simon Clark and Kiri Kermode.
Whatever you get up to on a Saturday morning, we'll try and brighten it up for you on the Saturday Sandwich.
We'll have the What's On guide and the travel updates for you.
We love to talk about animals.
So we've got some puppies, so we're trying to get them trained and all the rest of it. We always keep a...
Oh, right.
Yeah, we love the sheepdogs.
You're going to bring them in. I'm sure there'll be a few people like to see your puppies.
Oh, well, maybe. They're lovely and fluffy.
And we'll have lots of award-winning singing.
That's just how you live.
Oh, gosh.
So if you want to listen to some great music and have a bit of a laugh with this Saturday sandwich, join us every Saturday morning here on Manx Radio from 10.
I'd perhaps pay money to not listen to Clarke sing again, but that's not my decision. Right, let's turn our attention to sport now. And I can turn up this fader and we should be able to join Rob Pritchard, who is on the course at the moment. Fastamai, Rob, what can you tell us?
Yes, Fastamai, Christian, you join us once again at Ramsey Hairpin in the north of the island on the Snaefell Mountain Course as we prepare for the first session of this year's Classic TT. 6 years after it first ran in 2019, the event is returning with opening qualifying for machines of yesteryear. Roads around the course are currently due to shut at 6 p.m. before Formula One and lightweight machines are first out at 6:30. That'll be followed at 7:20 by machines in the historic senior and historic junior classes. Roads around the course will then reopen no later than 9 p.m. Sticking with motorsport, and Sean Anderson has secured a late ride for this year's Classic TT. HM Racing has announced it will be supporting Anderson with a machine to compete at this year's event. The development comes after the rider found himself without a bike to race earlier this month. Well, TT competitor Anderson says he's really grateful for the opportunity and is thanking HM Racing for putting this together at such short notice. Away from motorsport, and Isle of Man tennis competitor Billy Harris returns to action in the qualifiers of this year's US Open this afternoon. The former Albany and Castletown player is facing Kazakhstan's Mikhail Kukushkin today in the second round of the men's singles qualifiers. Should Harris win it, it would equal his best performance at the Grand Slam. Harris got his campaign underway on Monday with a 2-1 victory over Japan's James Trotter in the previous phase. And in equestrian, Manx star Yasmin Ingham has once again been selected to represent Great Britain at the FEI Eventing European Championship. Ingham is one of six chosen for the GB squad, which also includes Laura Collett, Caroline Harris, Piggy March, Tom McEwen and Bubby Upton. This year's competition will take place in the UK at Blenheim Palace in Oxfordshire from the 18th to the 21st of September. On social media, Ingham, originally from the island and now based in Cheshire, is describing it as an honour to be chosen, especially for a home championship. Furthermore, Ingham and Great Britain go into the biannual event as defending champions, having claimed both individual and team gold in 2023.
Guramaya, thank you very much for that, Rob. Well, good luck out there on the Classic TT course. That's it for our update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Do stick around. Howard Kane is up next with Spotlight. Michelle Kane sitting in for Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits after that. Later on, we've got Ernie Thorne in the hot seat taking you through till tomorrow. Taking you through till tomorrow is Dave Moore with After Hours. Of course, I will be back tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.